Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Shari Class Learning. We are learning Lilui Nishmas Mirim from Mirim Bas Chaim Yitzhak Allah HaHosham. May your Nisham have a continuous Ali in the Merit of our Torah. So I'll tell you, I don't know if we're going to get to the Sefer this evening, but I think not. I think we're not going to get to the Sefer this evening. I felt after last week's class that we need to revisit the topic, although I was not feeling comfortable after last week's class with the way we left class, with the idea that we absolutely have Bechira, and Hashem absolutely knows what's going to happen. So I prepared further sources, and no, I'm serious, and I think that it's a tenet of our faith, and it's very difficult if we need Amun Pshuta. When we can't understand, we just have to say, I can't understand. That does not mean it's not correct. It does not mean I don't have responsibility as a Ben or a Bas Torah to make the right decisions. It's not a stira to say. It's not a contradiction to say. The Ribono Shel Olam knows what's going to happen and plans what's going to happen, even though I have Bechira. And I really did not feel so comfortable. And therefore, we need to revisit the topic. I'm also going to ask for really minimal interruptions, even though you know in this Chabura, I do take questions and we welcome comments, and it leads to further learning. Always, I would like to try and get through the sources that I prepared. So first of all, in regard to the Yud Gimel Ikare Amuna, which are based on the principles of the Ramban, and we discussed this, by the way, I'll tell you when we discussed it for the first time, it was August 2015. That's when we had the first year on it. Aside from two sources, I am now quoting the same sources again. The last time we did quote these Yud Gimel Ikare Amuna, and I'm going to begin once again. There are 13 principles of faith based on the teachings of Maimonides of the Rambam. So I'm just going to quote, begin with 1 and 10. Ani Mambi Bemuna Shleimash Abayis Brachshmo Hu Bore Uman. I believe with perfect faith that the Creator, may His name be blessed, creates and leads. He is the manhig for all creations. He is the Creator and the leader. V'hu levado, and He alone asa v'ose v'yasa l'chol masim. He alone ose, made, makes, and will make. The Ribbono Shel Olam's name is Yud, then Hey, then Vav, then Hey. It is a contraction of Haya, Hovevia. He is beyond time. I live in time. I am a time-bound human being. The Ribbono Shel Olam is beyond time. If someone's beyond time, they can see the past, present, and future. So not only is he the Borei and the Manhig for all creations, but he made, makes, and will make. Furthermore, the 10th one is, Ani ma'amin be'amuna shelema she'habori yisprach shemo yodeya kol ma'aseh b'nei adam. I believe with perfect faith that the Creator, may His name be blessed, knows all the ma'aseh b'nei adam, the actions of man. V'chol machshavosam. We spoke about this last time, and there was a problem with it. People could not accept that are my thoughts my own if God knows my thoughts? What? V'chol machshavosam she'ne'amar. This is from Capital 33, Capital Lamed Gimel of Tehillim. Hayotzer yachad libam. He fashions together all their hearts. Hameivin as kol maaseihem. He understands and discerns all of our works. So we have these principles of faith that the Ribbono Shel Olam not only created, continues to create, and will continue to create, and is in charge of our thoughts and all the workings and everything that happens here. I need to tell you a story that happened to me, and I was thinking about the shiur, and I was planning, from the time I got home last week, Hashem shall help us, we shall all live and be well, I was planning to present and prepare this shiur for tonight, because it did not rest so well with me. And I need to tell you what happened on Sunday, and this is a true story. My husband, I was shoe shopping with my daughter, and my husband was in Kol Seif, and I said, oh, you're in Kol Seif? I have a lifts for Kol Seif. I was planning to take her, unbeknownst to her, she was very happy, she had a Yeshua, her father's in Kol Seif. Anyway, so I said, I need some things from the grocery, and I sent him a list. It was Sunday. We had been away for Shabbos. I didn't have leftovers. Usually Sunday is leftover dinner. There were no leftovers. So I asked him to get a few things for supper, that I could prepare supper. So he comes home. I wanted to make chicken with roasted potatoes and sweet potatoes, and I had frozen broccoli in the freezer. So he comes home, and he unloads the potatoes, and he unloads the sweet potatoes, and we're going through the oranges like water, and we put away the oranges and the cucumber. I say, where's the chicken? He said, you want a chicken? I said, let's go back and look at the text. We went back to look at the text, and the first thing it says is, family pack chicken bottoms. So he says, oh, I'll go back to the store. There's a ring at the doorbell. It's my father-in-law. We have not seen my father-in-law in about 2 to 3 months, because first they were in Eretz Yisrael, and my mother-in-law was out of commission. And he couldn't leave her, and we couldn't visit. She was too out of commission to be visited. Baruch Hashem, she's okay, but just We haven't seen him for like 2 or 3 months. And he walks in. Why did he come in? Because my boys are being bar mitzvah. Be'ezros Hashem. And he came. My in-laws got them very generously their tefillin. So he came to give the boys their tefillin. Besides the two tefillin bags, he's holding these pans in a bag. So I said, what is that? So he says, I don't know. Ima sent it for you. It's for the freezer. So I go to these two pans and I open them up. And there's two pans of chicken. One is labeled chicken bottoms in crumbs, and one is labeled chicken bottom sauce. You have to understand the sequence. The sequence of events is my husband comes from the store, and he's unloading all the groceries, and I say, where's the chicken? He says, you want a chicken? We check the tax. It says chicken. He says, I'll go to the store. Ring at the door. Ring at the door. And there's my father-in-law. Well, he's about to chicken for the freezer. So I said, well, actually, these are not for the freezer. They're going straight into my oven now. So I looked at my father-in-law and my husband and one of the 12-year-olds who was there. And I said, you know, the Gemara says. I said, you know this Gemara. And I told them the following Gemara. Okay, my brother, yes, they make fun of me. You can't have a conversation with Amichal without hearing a Dvar Torah. It should be my worst insult. We discussed this Gemara. So I said, I look at the three of them. We're standing by the island. And I said, you know the Gemara, there's a certain pauper who came before Rava. And Rava said to him, B'ma taso eid, what are you used to eating? Amar lo. Does anyone remember? Yeah?
Somebody ate like fatted chicken.
Oh, beautiful. B'tarnagolis pituma v'yayin yashan. The Gemara says that this pauper comes and he says to Rava, I like fat in hand and old wine. So Rava says to him, you're putting a hardship on the community. We spoke about this in regard to tzedakah. Tonight we're taking a different aspect of it. So the pauper said, I'm not eating from the community funds. Midrachmana ka'achlina. Midrachmana. Who am I eating from? I'm eating from God, the merciful one. We learn, because the pasuk says, Eine chale lecha yusabeiru. The eyes of all depend upon God. God provides for each person. It doesn't say he provides for everybody as a klal. For each person. God gives everyone his parnasa. Parnasa literally means sustenance. It doesn't necessarily mean your paycheck. It means fat and handed age wine, or it means chicken because you have nothing to feed the family right now. At that moment, Rava's sister, Delo Chazale, Telesre Shne, at that point, Rava's sister, who he had not seen for 13 years, comes by exactly there. Saturday, I said, you know the Gemara? That's what I said to them. I said, he hasn't seen her for 13 years. She shows up at the door. What do you think she's holding? Fat in hand and aged wine. And Rava says, my Dakama, what just happened? Amarle, Rava said, Anesilach, I answered too quickly, Kum Echol, get up and eat. So we spoke about this previously in regard to the mitzvah of tzedakah, but I think, I mean, this is what just happened to me, okay? I'm not a Rava, I'm just a regular person. But I hadn't seen my father in like 3 months, not 13 years. Literally, I said, where's the chicken? You want a chicken? Check the text. I'll go to the store, ding dong, here to bring tefillin. And my mom was sick. Why would she even send me chicken? She's been out of commission since before Hanukkah. She had cancer Hanukkah for 1 month. And he walks in with chicken for the freezer. This is not fixed toe. So, did my mother-in-law have bechira chafshis to send me the chicken? Yes. Did my husband have bechira? Maybe not, because he didn't see the text. I don't know about that. To buy the chicken or not buy the chicken? Lamaisa? Yes. Did the Ribbono Shel Olam clearly, is anyone here going to tell me that this story, that this maisa that happened to me, a regular person on a low level, on this past Sunday, that this happened, it's not orchestrated by the Ribbono Shel Olam? Does God know what's going to happen? That my husband came home without supper, and I have no chicken to put in the oven with the potato and yam, and at the same time, my father, but did she have bechira to send? Yes. Did my husband have bechira in the store? Yes. Does God know what's going to happen? Yes. Is it a stira? We have to stop thinking that because I have Bechira, the Ribbono Shel Olam is not in charge. It is two separate matters. That's a true story. And Mamash, a true story. Masachas Chulin, Zion Ahmed Beis. Rabbi Hanina said, and this I've told you before, Ein Adam no keif etzpo milamata, ala im kein machrizin alav milamalo. A person does not stub his toe on earth. Don't make a face at me. A person does not stub his toe on earth unless it has been decreed from above. A person does not stub Ein Adam nekaf etzpo milamala, ala im kein machrizin alav milamata. So do I have a choice if I walk into, I don't know, a table by accident? I banged my hand the other day, I took off my coat, I smacked into the wrought iron, it's my choice. It also happens to be that it's machrizin alav milamala. And I was also thinking, because we just finished the book of Bereishis, and the words of Yosef HaTzadik leave no shadow of a doubt as to the matzav of Bechira versus Yedia. No, I mean the Akedah. At the grand reveal. The grand reveal. He cannot hold back. He can no longer contain himself. He can no longer restrain himself. And he says, take everyone out of the room. And nobody is there when he makes himself known to his brothers. And he starts crying. And Egypt hears on that. So Pharaoh hears on. Yosef says to his brothers, famous words. And Yosef, perhaps the most famous words in the book of Bereishis, Ha'or Avichai. I am Yosef. Is my father still alive? Well, Yachu, Echav, La'anos, also, can you follow me? But not. They can't even talk. Are you serious? They can't say anything. Chazal say, Oi lanu yom hadin, oi lanu. If the brothers couldn't answer Yosef because they were so embarrassed, what are we going to say after 120 years? So come close to me, says Rashi, see my bespila. I'm Yosef, your brothers that you sold to Egypt. Don't be sad. Don't be angry in your eyes. That you sold me here. What did he just say? You sold me, but who sent me? You were the agents who sold me, but who sent me? I just said the pasuk. Who sent me? This is not a trick question. Because to be the provider of life, shachani elokim v'nechem. So who sold Yosef? Did the brothers have bechira to sell Yosef or not a bechira to sell Yosef? Yes. However, to tell me the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't know what's going to happen, that there's not no interruptions. Kizash nasayim harav bekeretz aretz. So far, the famine has been for 2 years. If there's 5 more years. Second time, v'yishalcheni elokim lifneichem. What does he just say again? What did he say? V'yishalcheni elokim lifneichem. God sent me before you to put for you a remainder in the land to sustain you. Third time, va'ata, and now lo atem. He says, pasha, lo atem shalachtem osi. What does that mean? You did not send me. You did not deliver this chicken. You are not the one who brought fat in hand and aged wine. It was the Ribbono Shel Olam. Any Baal Muna is going to hear such a story and say it's a coincidence. No one at the table would say such a thing. So why is it so hard for us to reconcile the fact that we have Bechira and the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is HaYehovah V'Yiyah, past, present, future, who sees all dimensions of time, know exactly what's going to happen. V'yishalcheni Elokim lifneichem. Pashut says Yosef, you didn't send me here. God sent me. Oh, I read that already. Lo atem shalachnam osihena kiha Elokim. You didn't send me here. God sent me. And he made me a father to Pharaoh, a master to his household, a ruler over the whole land of Egypt. So, 1 second. You have to listen to what the Aruch Chaim says. So, the Aruch Chaim says, the Rashbam says, Ki limchia shalchani, God sent me to be from Chai, a provider of life, says the Rashbam, who is a Pashtun, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asa kol zos l'tovaschem. You know when we say gamzu l'tova? HaKadosh Baruch Hu asa kol zos l'tovaschem. Could you imagine what Yosef is saying? God did all of this for whose good?
Yours.
Your good. It's for your good. You sold me, and it was orchestrated by God. It's for your good. Never mind my good. Never mind that Hashem saved me. This whole thing was for your good. Listen to the Aruch Chaim. Perush. Laseis ta'am lahasir milibam chashas hasina. He wanted to remove from their house chashas, suspicion. Any suspicion, he wanted to remove from their heart any suspicion of doubt. Leval yechashvu ki Yosef yistom osam. Yosef, does not want the brothers to think that Yosef will hate them. V'yisna aim. And that he will hate them. Al asher nis achzru alav, because they were cruel, from achzar. One second. He wanted them to feel that his heart was with them. Emes, hein emes, ki bisha'as ma'isa asher micharuha, at the time of the sale when they sold him, hayu hadvarim zarim be'inav. What does that mean? What? At the time of the sale was strange in whose eyes? Yosef, taka, it seems very strange. At the time of the sale, it was really taka, very strange. You know, in your situation, and you say gamzul tov, even though you don't really believe at that moment, that somehow you understand what's possibly going on here, we say it because we believe it, but lamais, it seems very strange. This is a very strange situation. Someone who loves me so much would do such a thing to me, would say such a thing to me, would embarrass me, would sell me. I can't understand this. It's very achzar. They're being very cruel. It was worthy if his emotions stayed the same based on the sale that he's haka should hate them. Achein ata, but now, achareira also, kala nimshach mira, deso mitzrayim, with hindsight. The Ribbono Shel Olam always has hindsight. He always has foresight. He always has present sight. He always has hindsight. But a human being who is time bound, who cannot see the whole picture, makes a decision of bechira in the moment. But lamaisa, with hindsight, achareira also. This is the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, the Bereishis Mem Hei Ches 45:8. Achareira also kolanim shachmi yudasom mitzrayim. After he saw, with hindsight, everything that happened as a result of the sale to Egypt. Yada ki hamaisa haya me'es Hashem. What does that mean? Please. Hi, I know I said no interruptions, but come on. Yada ki hamaisa haya me'es Hashem. He knew absolutely that the whole incident was from Hashem. Vehem shelichuso yisbarach. They were merely puppets on a stage. They were the messengers of the Almighty. Asu, velo shlichus atzmam. You know what that means? Velo, with an aleph. It was not their own shlichus. This has nothing to do with them. They are shlucho shel makom. Please open up the Aruch Chaim at home and your mikros for those and read it for yourself. I am quoting. Ubaza ein makom lishmar laham eva. And therefore, there's no room to have animosity towards them. Why not? Because it's not them. How could I hate them? It wasn't them. You had bechira to sell me. However, you are shlucho shel makom. It is not velo shlichus atzmam. Uvezeh ein makom lishmar l'meiva. Therefore, he cannot harbor a grudge. Resentment. Velo laharchik midas ha'achva mehem. And he should not be distant in the midah of brotherhood with them. Why? Ki limchia shachani elokim lefnechem l'achayosam amrav. Lo atem shalachtem osi. With the hindsight of time, because a human being cannot see all dimensions of time, Yosef realizes this has nothing to you. Achareira also call a nimshach miyure deso mitzrayim yada ki amaisa haya me'ez Hashem. Did I ask you if they had bechira? Did they have bechira to sell him or not sell him? Of course they have bechira. They had all conversation by the pit. First they say, hinei bal chalam asala zebal luchu v'nahargenu. Then they say, maybe we shouldn't do that. Reuven wants to take him home. He got successful. Reuven's a very weak personality. Not for tonight. Then Yehuda says, because he's the leader, let's throw him into the pit. Let's tear his coat. Did they have bechira? Did not bechira. In fact, vayered Yehuda me'es acha, vayed ad ish adulami, parakla melchaz pasuk aleph, vayered Yehuda me'es acha, and Rashi says the brothers blamed him. He had a yerida from his brothers. The brother said, Yehuda, you're malchus. If you would have told us to take him home, we would have taken him home. But you told us to sell him, it's your fault. What is Yosef able to say? Ke'a ma'isa haya me'es Hashem. Veheim, they are simply, shelichuso yisparach asu. My mother-in-law knew I didn't have chicken. She knew I didn't have chicken. Rava's sister knows that a pauper shows up at the door and says, I want fat and hand and aged wine. Tarnagolas yayin yashan. Tarnagolas putma fat and hens. Who knows? The wine capital, oh, who's above time. Haya hove v'yihi anu. Spasar v'adam absolutely has bechira. But l'maisa, it's l'shlicho shomakom. It's not my shlichos. That's what the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, that Yosef was on such a medrega that he's able to understand that it is the Ribbono Shel Olam, even though I have Bechira. You know, it's very interesting. In the Megillah, I'm going to tell you something very interesting. Megillah's Esther. There's a time of Hester, Panim Chulin 139b, Kuflam Etes, Amad Beis, very, very famous, Hester Minotaur Minayim, Vanochi Esther, Sir Panayim Ekem Bayamahu. The Gemara famously says, at the time of the Jews in Shushan Habira, in the 127 provinces, Lashmi, Laurga, Abed, it's called Minara, Zakitap, and Nashim, Biyam Echad, Ushlam Mavaz, was a time of Hester Panim, the concealment of the divine face. The Ramban, we learned this week in Parsha class, says the exact same thing about Mitzrayim. It's a time when God hides his face. It's also, by the way, a very difficult concept. People also don't like that one. It's the worst concept. The Midrash says it was the hardest thing for Hashem to write, but when he hides his face. Because when he hides his face, all hell breaks loose. I don't mean that as a pun. I mean literally. That's what happens. We go back to Tohu V'vohu V'choshach Al Panei Tohem. Something very interesting in the Megillah. Certain, this year it's in a while, because we have an extra Adar. Mm-hmm. Normally we'd be already saying, are we planning for Purim? Mm-hmm. Okay. Because we're Shabbos, Mevarchim, Mesik, Shvat. Lysa, we would say next week, oh wow, the candy's on the shelf. So something very interesting in the Megillah. There are certain tunes, there are certain psukim, I should say, that are laying to the tune of Eicha. Why? Because those are very sad tunes. They represent Churban. They represent destruction. Churban is from Charav. This is after the Churban Bayis Rishon, Asher Hagla, Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bava. Okay. What are some of the psukim that are read? I'm going to tell them to you. Now, I'm not a Baal Korah, and I went through the Megillah myself. This is not the first time that I noticed this. I didn't have time to check with a Baal Korah. Maybe I did have time, but whatever. Maybe I didn't maximize my time. These are the psukim that are read with the tune of Eicha. The Hashkos Beklei Zahav. It's probably familiar to you. V'keilim, I don't know how lame, but you could probably hear it in your head. V'keilim, mikelim shonim. Why is that pasuk in the tune of Megillas Eicha? Exactly, because the drinks were poured in golden goblets and all different kinds of vessels. What kind of vessels? The vessels that were plundered from where? The Beis HaMikdash. So this pasuk is reminiscent of Churban Beis HaMikdash, so we read it in the tune of Eicha. Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Abira. You know this pasuk. Shmo Mordechai Ben Yair Ben Shmi Ben Kish Ish Yimini. There is a Jewish man in the city of Shushan. It's Mordechai. Next pasuk. Asher Hagla MiYerushalayim. You could hear the tune in your head. Im Hagol Asher Haglasa Im Yechanya Melech Yehuda. Why is this pasuk read in the tune of Eicha? Because it's Pasha talking about the Golas that followed the Churban. He was exiled from Jerusalem with the exile of Yechanya Melech Yehuda, who was exiled them Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel. So you read in the tune of Eicha. Umordechai Parak Dalet Pasuk Aleph. After the decree has been given and they drink cognac, and I still remember that shir in my house when you told me I don't say cognac properly. That was a long time ago. Now I know how to say it. Umordechai Yada Eskal Asher Nasa Vayikra Mordechai Esbegadav Vayil Bashsak Ve'efer Vayetze Bishochair Vayizak Zalka Gedol Umara. What happens? Why is that red sad? Because Mordechai knows what's going to happen. What's going to happen? We're all going to be thrown into the gas chamber. So he goes into the streets and he tears his clothing and he lets out a great cry. There is great mourning for the Jews. There is fasting. There is crying. There is sackcloth. There are hespedim. And she's at the party, and the king says to her, what do you want, Queen Esther? I will give you up to half the kingdom. Queen Esther says, you know, I am crying in a mournful tune. We have been sold out, me and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, to be annihilated. And if we would have been sold for Vadim and Shvachos, I would have been quiet. I could have handled slavery. But this, murder, outright annihilation. And finally, at the next party, what else does she say? Not at the next party, after Haman's been killed, but she wants to rescind the Gezeira. Ki eichecha uchal v'ra'isi b'ra asher yimtza asami. Eichecha, eicha, eich. How can I stand by and see the bad that has befallen my people? V'eichecha uchal v'ra'isi b'avdan moladati. How can I see the abolishment of my birthright? And therefore, there are certain allusions in the Megillah, which is a time of Esther Panim, when God's face is concealed, when his name is not mentioned, that we mourn, lilain in a mournful tune. You know, I think it was last Purim, or maybe the Purim before. A thought occurred to me that really, I thought was unbelievable. Of all the psukim in the Megillah that you would think would be read in the tune of Eicha, what do you think should be read in the tune of Eicha? Of all the psukim.
The one that says the word Eicha.
When what?
That last pasuk that you said.
No, that is an Eicha.
Oh.
What should be an Eicha, the tune of Eicha, and it's not? The moment the deal is made and the king gives his ring to Haman, so Reha Yehudi, the oppressor of the Jews, maybe when the letters go out to all the Medinos HaMelech, each province in its own dialect, maybe then, when the letters go out, when the ring is given, maybe this pasuk should be in the tune of Eicha. V'nishloach Sfarim B'yad HaRatzim. The letters were sent in the hands of the runners. El kol medinos hamelech, to all 127 provinces. You know the next words. Lahashmid, laharok, ula'abed, es kol yehudim, minar vad zakein, tafen hashim. To annihilate, to kill, to destroy every Jew. From youth to elder, tafen hashim, from child to woman, biyam echad on one day. You don't think that's strange? Isn't that the worst pasuk in the whole Megillah? That's the YNC conference. That's the final solution. That's the stamp of approval. The city of Shushan is so confused. The people are bewildered. No one knows what's going on. And the Nazis are drinking. There will not be a remnant left of the Jewish people. Do you know the Nazis planned in Budapest they were going to have a museum of the extinct race? Do you know that? They saved Talasim. I saw it recently in LA in the Holocaust Center. They saaved Talasim. It's stamped with Waffen SS. They saved certain relics because they were going to make a museum of the extinct race. Who is going to be the extinct race? What museum do I go to see the museum of the extinct race? So why isn't this pasuk laying in the tune of Eicha? This is the worst pasuk in the whole Megillah. Not from the Ribono Shel'Olam's vantage point. Not from the Ribono Shel'Olam's vantage point. Why not? Because the Ribono Shel'Olam, who sees past, who knows that Am Yisrael has survived many before. We have survived Paro. We have survived Yishmael. Not in that order. We have survived Esav. We have survived Amalek. Who sees the present and who sees the future knows that that pasuk is not a cause for mourning. It's only difficult in the eyes of he who is time-bound. So I bechira, I go to the streets, I cry, I do teshuvah. But the Ribbono Shel Olam knows, as kala Yehudi, Minarva, Zakein, Tafreshim, it will never happen. There's no cause for mourning because that will never come to fruition. Who's the only one, capital O, who knows it will never come to fruition? God. Why? Haya, Hove, V'yehia. Because I have bechira, because the people in Megillas Esther also had bechira. In fact, she had to exercise her bechira. What does Mordechai say to her? Im ha-charesh ta-charishi ba'es ha-zos? Don't you dare persist in your silence. Ravach v'hatzala yamo da-yehudi mi-makam acher. You must embrace your tafkid. But the Ribbono Shel Olam knows what's going to happen. He's planning the stage. I mentioned last week the mysterious Ish, but I wasn't able to quote it fully in the name of the Rav because I didn't anticipate last week's class, and therefore I didn't have the proper sefer with me. So I want to make sure to do justice. You remember last time we spoke about an Ish, especially towards the end of the book of Bereishis. I could go through the psukim and tell them to you. We quoted a few of them last week. Vayivater Yaakov Ravado, Vayavesh Keish Imo, Ad Alos HaShochar. The Ish meets Yaakov on the river Yabok. The Ish meets Yosef straying in the field and says, where are you going? The Ish brings the brothers to the palace of Yosef. Ish, Ish, Ish. The common denominator, says of Salvation, in all of these verses, he gives 1, 2, 3, 6 examples from the end of Bereishis is the Ish. Who's the Ish? An anonymous person, strange in his behavior to the point of absurdity. This absurdity precipitates fear. We are not frightened of Esav. We know the enemy. We know the nature of the conflict. But fear, there wrestled a man with him. Vayavek Ish Imo. We fear the anonymity of both the enemy and his claim. Who is he? You're an Ish. Where do you come from? Who do you represent? The Torah gives no answers. In fact, when Yaakov asks him his name, what does he say to him? Lama zetush alishmi. Yaakov says, who are you? I don't even know who I'm fighting with. And what does the angel, the Ish, say? You don't need to know my name. We know nothing about the nature, the purpose, the bitter struggle. The enemy wants to destroy Yaakov. The secret, the silence, the absurdity, the anonymity stimulate grisly fear. And then there is an Ish that plays a dramatic role in the sale of Yosef. An Ish finds him. V'hinei toa besada, v'yimtze'eyu Ish. And the Ish says to him, what are you doing? Who is he? Why did he approach Yosef? An Ish. The repetition of the term Ha'ish comes to emphasize the unusual, please listen carefully, character of the coincidences, the strange role played by an anonymous man who didn't know Yaakov and who didn't know Yosef. He guessed that Yosef felt lost. But why is Yosef confined in a stranger? Why does Yosef say, "Sachai anochi mevakesh"? Why does he even tell this man who he is and what's he looking for? It's a strange coincidence. And again, that's facetious, that the Ish knew where the brothers were. He's a stranger. He says to Yosef, who are you looking for? And Yosef says, I'm looking for my brothers. And he says, oh yeah, you know, they moved on from you. How did the Ish know anything about this? The Torah repeats the term Ish to emphasize the Ish is not a man. He's the angel who watches over Jewish history. He is the plenipotentiary of the Almighty. He guides events. He meets Yosef. And Yosef's drama becomes complex, puzzling, awesome. Let's say Yosef would not have met the Ishtar. Yosef had Bechira. Yosef could have said to the man, forget it, I'm not talking to you. Thank you. Stranger, danger. I ran home. Father, he's all 17 years old. I couldn't find my brothers. I'm home. He has Bechira. What does he say to the man? Oh, you know, I'm Taco, looking for my brothers. And the guy who's a total stranger says, oh, you're looking for your brothers? You know, I heard them saying, let's move on from here. Who's the Ish? He's the angel who watches over Jewish history. Yosef is hesitant, but he surrenders to the Ish. He surrenders to destiny. The Ish made the decision for Yosef to go to Dothan. And in doing so, the Ish, Jewish destiny, sealed the fate of Yaakov and his household. And they were exposed to bondage, affliction, loneliness. Shmos, ve'erabo. He sends Yosef to experience the tragic experience of exile. And did Yosef act in accordance with the instructions of the mysterious Ish? Yes. Yes, he did. Who is the Ish? He's Jewish destiny. He's the Malach Hashem. He is the messenger of God. All of human beings involved in the story of Yosef act compulsively. They were forced by the impact of Jewish destiny to act in the way which God had planned. They were forced by Jewish destiny to act in the way which God had planned. But in the moment, when you are, I feel like jumping on my chair, but only when you live in the present, you understand that you only have Bechira because my vision is limited. I don't understand I'm being compelled by a mysterious Ish. I don't feel that this is Jewish destiny. Sometimes the mice are so revealed, it's like startling, like fat and end and age wine, and like... But sometimes you don't realize, of course I have responsibility. Of course I have a Christ. Of course the brother sold Yosef. Was it a nice thing to do? Father went into mourning for 22 years. He comes home, ki ered al bini aval sha'ol ava yima'en li nachem, not in that order. But who guides the stage? Who produces the play? Who sees the end of the story? We saw one of the Mepharshim in Parsha class this week, just about that. I gave Elisheva a call. Nobody else at the table knew what I was talking about. You probably did if you heard the recording. I say Elisheva Shlam, and I refer to one of the Mepharshim that's talking about this idea that God knows what will happen. Hey, Vesi Aschem. In my opinion, the Ish, says Rav Salvechik, not my opinion, the Ish who met Yosef is the same Ish who meets Yaakov on that dark, grisly night on the river Yabok. Why was the Ish telling Yaakov Avinu? Your history will be replete with conflict and struggle. You might emerge uninjured for your engagement with Esav. However, you will confront others who will oppose you. Historical living for the Jew is identical with heroic living. We are lonely and we must always be on alert. The Ish personifies the tragic, paradoxical moments in Jewish history. In Miketz too, the Ish appears several times. They're confused. They say, they come back to Father, they call Yosef the Ish, the Adonai Aretz, why is he torturing us? Why is he putting the money back in our saddlebags? It's all to bring them down to Egypt. Who's really bringing the brothers down to Egypt? Yosef or God? Ribono Shel Olam. Does Yosef have Bechira to say to Menashe, put the goblet in the saddlebag of Binyamin? Yes. Does my mother-in-law have free will to send me chicken? Yes. Does my husband maybe have free will to read the list or not read the list? Yes. The Ish is the angel Gavriel. We said that last week. That's what Rashi says. The executor of Jewish history, quote, which is planned and willed by God. Yosef met the Ish and he is confronted with Jewish destiny. Now, I have to tell you something really unbelievable. Also, I knew I was planning to prepare this year. So it was my nephew's bar mitzvah this past Shabbos. So we were in Shul, Rabbi Forshul, Hishav Refuah Shalema. Abbasok Sh'archalei Yisrael. He was not there Shabbos morning. Rabbi Fishman spoke. They just said Rabbi Forrest was a few. Oh, we didn't know what was going on yet. So anyway, between Aliyahs, so I was looking at the Baal Turim, between Aliyahs to see what the Baal Turim has to say. Who remembers? What's wrong?
No, I heard the email.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yes. I saw the email from the shul. Yes, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. You should sell Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, of
course. One second, ladies. Oh, it's okay. I don't have a chumash with me. Ladies, listen. Who remembers The last pasuk of Perek Aleph in Shemos is Perek Aleph pasuk Chaf Beis. Aitzav Paro l'chol Amar Leimar. Kol Ben Ayudara Yari Tashlichu. Paro's desperate, and the astrologers say the Moshiach Yisrael is about to be born. And he says, every male into the river, whether he's Jewish or Egyptian, whether he's from the slave or the king, every male to the river. That's the end of Perek Aleph. Who remembers? Please, someone tell me you remember the first words of Perek Beis in Shemos. Vayelech ish mi beis Levi. Vayikach es bas Levi. So that did not occur to me at all after last week's shiur, and it did not occur to me at all when I was preparing this shiur. But you know what the Baal HaTurim has to say? The Baal HaTurim, so I'm in Shul, and I, you know, there's not so many Mefarshim in the Chumashim in Shul. There's Rashi, I think, Yikr Sif Seich Chachamim, and the Baal HaTurim is only between Elias, not when I'm leaning, when it's leaning, I'm falling, and I happened to look at this Baal HaTurim. I could have looked at a different Baal HaTurim. There's not so much time to learn in between Elias. Did you hear what I said? I didn't say his name. I could have said his name. Mm-hmm. It's Jewish destiny. Who's about to be born from this remarriage, this reunion? Moshe and Yisrael. Jewish destiny. Vayeich ish. The Baal HaTurim HaKadosh says, Vayeich ish. Beis b'mesorah. It appears, what does that mean? The Baal HaTurim says that. This phrase occurs two times in Tanakh. Hacha, one time is here. V'idach, I'll tell you the answer, even though once I say you might know yourselves. It's the first pasuk in Megillas Rus. Vayelech ish mi beis lachem Yehuda. Once again, he's labeled as an ish. Who's about to be born from that, eventually, from that union? David Melech Yisrael, Melech HaMashiach is going to come from. Eli Melech leaves, he dies, we all know the story, it's not Shavuos tonight. Vayelech ish beis b'mesorah hacha. This phrase occurs two times in scriptures. One time here, and Amram and Yocheved got married, except that Amram is not called Amram, he's called an Ish. Ish, doesn't that sound like what's going on in the book of Bereishis? Isn't that Jewish destiny? Did Amram have Bechira? Yeah, who did he listen to? Miriam. You're worse than Pharaoh. Pharaoh's Gozer al Azcharim. Atar Gozer al Azcharim, Ba'al Nekevos. Paro's Gozer al Olam Haza, says the Gemara. You're Gozer al Olam Haza, Olam Haba. So she spoke up. So her father made a choice. Her father made a choice! Gemara says he's the God of Adar. He made a choice to remarry his wife. Did he have Bechira? Yes. Why is it called an Ish? Because who's planning the stage? Who sees beyond time? Haya, Hove, Vihia. And what does the Baal HaTurim say? The other time is Rus 1:1. Vayeich Ish mi beis lachem Yehuda. Al yad halicha zo ba goal harishon. Vayeich ish, from the first Vayeich ish, the Goel Rishon comes, Moshe. Va'al yad also ha'alicha yavo ha'goel ha'acharon. The Ribbono Shel Olam could not have directed me to a more appropriate Baal HaTurim for this year. The ish is Jewish destiny. He forces us along. Yosef could have said to the ish, listen, I know who you are. I'm not telling you my personal family problems. You're not a therapist. I'm not telling you about me and my brothers. I'm going home. Stranger danger. Goodbye. He's compelled by what Jewish destiny? Who brings them to the palace? The ish. Who gets remarried or married according to Pshah for the first time in Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph? A man from Beis Levi. Who's running the show? Who sends the chicken? Who sends the fat and hen? Ayadei halicha zo ba goel rishon. By this halicha, vayeich ish mi beis Levi, Moshe's born. Ayadei also halicha, and from that halicha, yavo ha goel ha acharon. Who will come? Melech HaMashiach. Shehu Mashiach ben David. Please look up the Baal HaTurim for yourself. How beautiful. Go up and look up the Or HaChaim also. Baal HaTurim is Shemos 2:1. So I have to tell you something tremendous. So when I'm preparing Shir, we're talking about the Megillah. Ah! I don't want to say. How is Mordechai introduced in the Megillah? Just tell me his name. Why don't you just tell me his name? I don't know if it's open. It's a pasuk that we repeat. Why do we repeat it? Because we're all involved in Jewish destiny. Because we are all that Ish, or we're encountering that Ish. Ish Yehudi. Hiya, b'Shushan Abira. You know what was happening in Shushan Abira when the Jews thought they were slated for destruction? The mysterious Ish appears upon the scene. Who is he? Ish Yehudi. the guide of Jewish destiny. Ushmo, and now you tell me the name of the individual in the story. Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish Ish Yemini. In fact, he wasn't an Ish Yehudi. That's the question of the Gemara. Why call him an Ish Yehudi if he's from the Shevet of
Binyamin?
Ish Yehudi, Shushan Abish, Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish. The Gemara expounds upon every term. Kish, he knocked on the door of God, says the Gemara, Ish Yemini, so he is from the tribe of Binyamin. So why do you even call him an Ish Yehudi in the first place? Ish Yehudi indicates that he's from the tribe of Yehuda, but he's not from the tribe of Yehuda. He's from the tribe of Binyamin. So why introduce him? Because who is he? He's the Ish who is guiding Jewish destiny. He is the mysterious angel who forces us, who compels us, who pushes us along the right path. Did Mordechai have Bechira? Of course. Did Esther have a choice? Yeah. Mordechai says to her, listen, I don't recommend that you remain silent at this time, and you and your father's house will disappear into the mist of history. But she had a choice. Leich Knosses, call HaYehudim HaNimtzayim B'Shushan HaBira. Mitzumu alai, al tochu v'al tishtu shloshos yamim. Gam ani v'narosai atzum kein, v'kasher avadati avadati. If my destiny is to be lost, then I will be lost, but at least I have chosen correctly. If God determines I will be lost, kasher avadati avadati, then so be it. But I made the right choice. Ish Yehudi. Haya b'shushan habira. Who shows up in Shushan? Who shows up? The director of Jewish destiny. The Malach Hashem. The guide who forces us along our path. Says the Baal HaTurim, Vayerech ish beis b'mesora, once Vayerech ish mi beis lachem Yehuda, once Vayerech ish mi beis Levi, Vayikach espas Levi. The Goel HaRishon was born, the Goel HaAchron, Shu Malach HaMashiach is born, and in between we have the Goel in Shushan Habira. I'm going to end this shiur. If you read this story, please don't ruin it for everyone who didn't. It was in Mishpacha this past week. It's called Shul with a View. Rabbi Ron Yitzchak Eisenman writes, if you read it, you're going to hear it again. It was, how many read it, just by show of hands?
I can't remember what it is, but here we go.
It was 21 years ago this month, although to me it seems like yesterday. We were in the midst of transitioning from a mixed seating, microphone-using institution. If you heard it, please let other people hear it, to a full-fledged Orthodox show. There were many opinions, what could be maintained, what absolutely had to be discarded, how could we placate the old-timers. There were heated debates in regard to certain parts of davening. One major issue revolved around the singing of Adon Olam at the end of davening. To sing or not to sing? That was the question. I recall it was a Monday morning in January. I was about to meet the naysayers in the afternoon. Arriving in my office, there was a recording on the answering machine. An unfamiliar male voice said, "You don't know me. Please call me back." I called back. "Rabbi," said the voice on the other end, "you officiated at the funeral of Mr. Sam Fields," all names have been changed, "an aged congregant. I was at that service. I was impressed by your sensitivity. Yesterday, my first cousin Albert passed away in a nursing home. He was of limited ability. I am undertaking the funeral, and I am asking if you can officiate at the service tomorrow at 2 o'clock. I understood the importance of the mitzvah," writes Rabbi Yon Ritzchak Eisenman, "and I quickly agreed. I confirmed the details for the day's funeral. The next day, I girded myself for, quote, the great Adon Olam debate, which was scheduled to begin in an hour." Now, by the way, by show of hands, no interruptions, because we have to finish. By show of hands, does your shul sing Adon Olam after davening? By show of hands. Okay? This is a yes or no question. After Mosaf, Shir Shalyam, and the final kash. Please. This is a yes or no question. All in favor, say, does your shul sing Adon Olam after davening on Shabbos? Does your shul not sing Adon Olam after davening on Shabbos? Okay, this is really interesting. As a side point, Rabbi Eisenman writes, he was in favor of maintaining the singing of the Adon Olam. The practice is cited by the Matan Moshe. The Matan Moshe is an oft-quoted work of halacha from the 1500s. How important is the Matan Moshe? Rabbi Eisenman writes, the Mishnah Brura, who's the Chavetz Chaim, quotes the Matan Moshe innumerable times. So this isn't like some reform psak. He's trying to show you that the Matan Moshe is a very important posek, who the Chavetz Chaim quotes innumerable times. Do you know why we repeat it? It's such a geschmack insight into tefillah. The matzah, this is not why I'm reading the story, but it's just a beautiful ha'ara. The matzah Moshe endorses the practice to show, as soon as you finish davening, you go right back and start davening all over again. You are never finished praying to the Creator. The minute you think you're finished, go back to the beginning and daven again. Metaphorically, you always should be talking to God. Yeah. He compares it to laying bereshis on Simchas Torah. The minute you finish v'zos habracha le'enei kol Yisrael, what do? That's why, for those shuls who say it, you should at least know what I never knew.
Sure.
I reasoned, if it was good enough for the Matan Moshe in 1591, it's good enough for Rabbi Eisenman and Pseig. Nevertheless, Moshe Brachberg, all names have been changed, was leading the charge to get rid of it. Of course, what did he say? It's not yeshivish. Only the modernish shul say it. Moshe is correct. Many yeshiva shuls don't say it. On the other hand, the Matan Moshe clearly endorses it. It makes my old-timers feel good. I listened to Moshe Brachberg and I said, tomorrow I'll give you an answer. That night at Marv, I davened to Hashem to send me clarity about the Adon Olam. The next day, Adon Olam moved to the back burner. I went to the cemetery for the graveside service of Albert. Surprisingly, Rachmana Litzlan, there were two people at the funeral, the Nifter's cousin who called me, and a woman in scrubs. She was the not-Jewish caregiver at the home. She felt close to the deceased. I recited Tehillim, Kal Malei Rachamim, and we proceeded to the grave. Surprisingly, the aide asked on her own if she could speak. So this non-Jewish woman speaks. Rabbi Eisenman nodded, and she removes a small tape recorder from her purse. She says, you know, Albert never spoke, but he really enjoyed listening to Jewish music. He specifically loved listening to this song before going to sleep. And then she pushes play, and loudly, shockingly, as if emanating from Shemayim, the majestic words of Adon Olam reverberated through the cemetery.
Of course.
Says the aide in scrubs, he always loved his Adon Olam. I smiled and I said to her, so do I. Hashem sent me the clarity I davened for. Adon Olam would proudly remain in our shul, and it is still sung every Shabbos. I bet Cousin Albert is shepherd nachas. Does he have bechira to accept the job, or the mitzvah, I should say, to officiate the cemetery? Yes. Did the aide have bechira to come? Yes. Did she have bechira to play Adon Olam of everything she could have said about Albert? Yes. Did he have bechira to say you could speak or you can't speak? Is it orchestrated by the Ribbono Shel Olam? Is anyone here going to say, I have responsibility, therefore God doesn't know what I'm doing? Vayelech ish, mi beis lechem Yehuda, we should be zocha. As Semech David avdecha meheres hasmiach, that the Jewish destiny should come to fulfillment. Tishbi yubar kushios ubayos. But until he does, we have the Amuna Peshuta, that just because I can't understand something, because I live in the present, does not mean that the Haya Hodeviyah is not guiding our destiny till the end of time. Okay, I wish you all week of Besuras Tovos. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Anything?
Amen.